Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am so excited today to be joined by Mrs. Brinley Tucker.
Hi, guys.
I hear she has a wild, wild story that she's going to tell us today about herself, how she got to where she is today, and really excited to talk to her about, you know, operations and recruiting and marketing and sales a little bit. I'm sure we're going to get a mixture of just some fire value you guys should be able to go off and implement in your business. That's the goal of the show. So, Brinley, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Grant.
I have to say, it's a really pretty name. I don't see the name Brinley very often. That's awesome.
It was funny. I taught a class this morning and one of the women was like, I need to have another baby so I can name my child that. And they're like, why don't you get a dog? And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it works. If you like my name, you like my name. So
that's funny. So yeah. Tell us about yourself. How did you get to where you are today? What's the story?
Yeah. So won't give you the long, boring version of how, you know, where I grew up and everything. Yet got out of college, went to New York, worked on Wall Street for a little bit. Everything I've ever done in my career that I've wanted to learn, I've been an assistant. So I moved to Wall Street, worked in investment banking as a trading assistant, and then decided that I wanted to go back to Texas where I graduated from college, went into country club membership sales. And that's kind of the first introduction that I had to real estate, because when you're working in a country club and you're selling country club memberships, a lot of your relationships are with realtors. And so that's where I started learning about the business. Ended up moving back home in 2011 and decided, hey, I think I want to be a realtor. At the time, I really didn't want to work for anybody, and it looked really nice that I could be an entrepreneur and start my own business. Yet again, everything I had done in my life to learn at first, I had become an assistant. And so I started applying for real estate assistant jobs, and I applied for one in my area, and I'm in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, with Nikki Ubaldini with Keller Williams. She owns the South Florida region, and they hired me to be their director of agent services, which was basically an in the brokerage position to kind of help out the agents with anything they needed. And that was in November. So I started with Keller Williams in November of 2011. And I went to my first family reunion with KW. So for those of you that aren't KW or aren't with Keller Williams, we have an annual conference called Family Reunion. And the values of the company are God, family, business. And I was at one of the lowest places that I had ever been in my life. Unfortunately, I had turned to alcohol to cover up a lot of my feelings and not wanting to live and not wanting to get out of bed, and started drinking just to get through life because I didn't want to deal with it. I was in a relationship that I wasn't fulfilled in, and it was just a lot of stuff. And so went to First Family Reunion, and everything that I heard was what I was trying to fill this God-sized hole with alcohol. It was God, it was family, and it was business, and it was all missing in my life. And I came back from that family reunion, and I remember I cried out to God, and I said, I don't want to live, but I don't want to die, and I don't know how to get out of where I'm at. Help me. Just help me. Help me get out of this. And, you know, I truly believe that God whispers, and then he yells, and then he roars. And I had had quite a few whispers in college and in my 20s. And I had had some yells in my late 20s and early 30s. And my roar came Memorial Day weekend of 2012. And I was at a friend's house that had quite a bit to drink and was on my way home in a blackout, driving while intoxicated during a blackout. And I made a U-turn in front of a motorcycle. And for 2 days, I thought he was dead, and I thought I was going to prison for the rest of my life. I got out of, it was intense. It was really intense. I got out of jail the next morning, and I looked at my mom, and I said, what am I going to do if I killed somebody? Because I called the police station, and they told me that my car was being held in investigation of a vehicular homicide.
Wow.
And, and my whole life changed that day. I looked at my mom, and I just, like I said, I looked at her. She was probably 4 feet from me on the couch. And I said, what am I going to do if I killed somebody? And thank goodness that man didn't die. I do believe that it's only by the grace of God that he didn't die that night, that God knew I would be more useful out here than I would be behind bars. And so I would start a really, really tough journey from that day forward, facing a lot of fines. I had $40,000 in debt. I had a house, but I didn't have a home. I had about $15,000 to $20,000 in fines, and I was facing 15 years in prison. And Nikki obviously had to fire me, rightfully so, because of everything I was going through. And a few agents in the office knew that I wanted to make some major changes in my life. And so they hired me to do marketing and admin work for them. And I would bike 60, 40, 30 miles a day sometimes with my laptop strapped to the back of my Schwinn bike cruiser, beach cruiser. And I would just go from agent to agent building websites and marketing. And over time, I built a transaction management company, taught myself how to do contract to close, and built that business in about 4 years, and then decided, you know what, this isn't what my passion is. I did this because I had to. And that's when I went into coaching and teaching and training. And now I'm a MAPS coach for Keller Williams. So I coach primarily directors of operations and the operations side of running a real estate business for teams that are doing usually more, you know, 250 plus. And I teach, which is my passion. And I just get to help people and add value every day. Every day is a gift. So I just continue to want to give back.
That is wild. You told me it was wild, but I didn't know how wild it was.
Yeah. I said, man, I didn't know it was going to be that wild.
Before we got started, I said, you can't outwild me, but you did. Like, that's awesome. That was an incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm so blessed. I got to go back to my market center this morning and teach Ignite. And every time I go back there, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for what those people did for me. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And, you know, Gary Keller tells us we're only 5 years away from wherever we want to be. And I was on stage at Mega Camp being interviewed by Gary last year. So it was pretty cool.
That is incredible. Are you going to family reunion?
I am going to family reunion. Nice. I am. And again, like, almost, you know, fired from the brokerage 7 years ago. And I have 3 panels this year that I'm honored that they've asked me to facilitate. And
that's incredible.
Proves that, you know, it's a little hard work and you can always get back on the right track. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Robbins, I think he always says people overestimate what they can do in a year and they underestimate what they can do in 10. Like, it's
absolutely
incredible what your life can be like 10 years from now.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, so that's my story. That's how I got to where I am today.
Well, I don't even want to talk about marketing and sales anymore. I just keep talking about how you've done what you've done. That's just incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's for me, honestly, like in the beginning, it was just do what you have to do to pay the bills and get out of bed every morning and right. To get yourself well. And I think, you know, when we're ready, like one of my favorite sayings is that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm-hmm. And when the teacher will remain until the student learns, right? Mm-hmm. So like when we're ready, like God, the universe, whatever it is that you believe in will show up and they're going to stay until you learn the lesson. So you can continue to fail forward and make the mistake over and over, yet you're just going to be learning it in a different way. Yeah. And so not a lot of people realize that and they get so overwhelmed by all the things that you're going to have to do to change. And for me, when I made that pledge to God in February and said, help me, I didn't get to choose how that help was going to come, mm-hmm. right? Yet the accident is what got me to start taking care of me and getting me in that motion. Like he had to take everything away from me and strip me down to nothing so that I could start rebuilding. And so in the beginning, it was just rebuild, get sober, get healthy so that you can give to others. And then the second step was just come from contribution. Just start adding value to people. And that's what I started doing. Like, even if it was free, like just adding value, just coming from contribution. And over time, I started getting that back. And I wasn't doing it to get it back. I was just doing it because I had nothing else in life. At that point, I felt like I owed everybody everything.
Yeah.
I had done something really bad, really, yeah. really bad. And I had penance. I needed to pay for that. And so I tell people now, if you're always coming from contribution and an abundance mindset, amazing things will happen. We just are so stuck in scarcity sometimes that we don't make the room for the abundance and the abundant life to come through.
Love it. So what are the best way? What are some of the ways that you add value today? You know, you're a MAPS coach. You said you teach Ignite. Like, what are some ways that you help people that are maybe just getting started or you know, maybe have been in the business a minute or kind of stuck? Like, what are some of your favorite ways to help people?
So I think, first of all, I very rarely will say no to someone. I always try to come from a place of yes, how, instead of no, why. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if somebody calls and asks for help, I'm never going to say no. The yes, why might be, yes, I can do it. And it's going to be 3 months from now. So if you're willing to wait, I can help you. Right. So I've really made it a commitment to myself to never say no, to always say yes, how. If I have the ability to be of service to someone and help them, I will. And then also, I think that it's in the beginning, you know, giving back and remembering where I came from. Like this morning, I taught an Ignite class to 10 brand new agents, all a month in the business. And it was so fun just to be able to give them tips and see their big starry eyes and all of their limiting beliefs that they have around lead gen and their database and everything. And so most of the time, Grant, and you know this, I mean, you're very much a servant's heart. Like you wouldn't have a podcast if you didn't want to add value to people. Is it again, like when you're ready to add value, people start appearing for you to help. You start seeing opportunity all over to help others. And I think, you know, when someone's first starting off, my most important thing for them is find the lead generation system that works the best for you. You don't have to cold call. If you're not comfortable picking up the phone and cold calling, don't do it. If you're comfortable going to a networking event and talking to 100 people about real estate, go do that. Go do that. Find your lead gen system that's going to work, and then put a system in place for follow-up. Those are the number two things that I think in the beginning that scare them the most and get them lost the most.
Right. It's a question that never comes up until license day, right? Like mm-hmm. I've gone through all these classes. I've taken this course. I got my license. Okay.
Yeah. What do I do?
How do I start this thing?
And yeah, then, absolutely.
We like today, what I've experienced so much just through talking to people is like, I don't want to do the old stuff anymore. And the old stuff still works. That's why 90%+ of the industry still does it. Like cold calling and door knocking and sending direct mail and those types of things, which is, you know, that's a lot of what we do, right? We're a social advertising company. We teach people how to grow their business through Facebook ads and Instagram and other platforms. But I do love what you said. You've got to find what works for you. And if you don't, you're just going to bounce from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. And, you know, two years will go by.
Yeah.
And you'll say, real estate doesn't work for me, right?
Yeah. Peter Drucker wrote a book called Managing Oneself. And in that book, he talks about being in your strength zone. And that when we're not in our strength zones, we're actually working against ourselves. Mm. And so if picking up the phone is not your strength zone, then you're actually wasting time and efficiency because you're working against yourself. And in the real estate business, when you're new, that's all you have is you.
Right.
Right? So you want to set yourself up for success and make sure. And then, you know, one thing that came up this morning that I thought was really cool was, are you acting like the CEO of Apple? Are you showing up every day like the CEO of Apple is? And if you're not, and you own a business and your CEO showed up the way that you are, would they still have a job tomorrow?
Right.
Right?
Good point. I always like to ask people, would you hire you?
Yeah, would you hire you? That's an easy way to put it. Yeah. And I think a lot of times they're not doing the activities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the marketing aspects of business. And then you mentioned sales systems and follow-up. You know, it's you know, if marketing is oxygen, sales is lifeblood, like how do you help people, you know, really understand, A, the true definition of follow-up today, which is different than it was, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Ago. Yeah.
How do you help people kind of understand that? What are some tips that you give people for developing a follow-up system and actually putting one in place?
Well, I think that's the number one thing. You have to have a system, right? Yeah. It's all about the system, and it's a system that works for you, right? It has to be automated. It has to be consistent, and it has to be efficient. So it has to be something that is working for you that you're going to go into every day and that you're going to run your business out of. So it has to be your ace in the hole. That, I mean, period. And so I think a lot of times what happens is people are lead generating on Facebook, they're lead generating on Insta, they're lead generating through their CRM, they're all over the place, and they're not putting it all in one central location. And it's not all feeding one another. And in the beginning, especially because they don't have a lot of money to spend money on things like Boomtown and Sync and Brivity and all of these, you know, bells and whistles systems. And so it's understanding that in the beginning, you're going to have to do a lot more data entry and a lot more work on the front end to make sure that everything's in a centralized location so that you can do follow-up. Because there will, everything has to be scalable. And I was actually in class this morning, and we were doing our real play calls, and a gentleman was on Facebook, and he was sending out a bunch of messages. He was inviting people to his business page. And I said, okay, so what's your plan to follow up? And he's like, well, they're right here in my Facebook. I said, what's going to happen when there's 250 of them that you've invited? How are you going to know who's responded? How are you going to know who hasn't? How are you going to know who to reach out to? And the light bulb went off. Like, oh, if I'm going to use this as my main form of lead gen, I need to have some system in place to follow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with networking. When you go to a networking event, what's your system? Have you time blocked time on your calendar to come back and sit down and enter all of those people into your database?
Right.
Or do you have business cards everywhere, like old school style? Or did they all go in the trash? I tell people, don't even give me business cards anymore.
Do not. Send me a friend request right now. Let's connect.
And I literally have like 1,000 of them sitting in that drawer, and they won't come out. They won't even come to family reunion with
me. Yeah. I get asked for business cards all the time. I'm like, I'm sorry, man, but I just don't, because I know you're gonna throw that thing in the trash. Like, there's no reason I'm gonna bring you that card.
If you really want to talk to me, you're gonna talk to me. And if you're in sales, you should be getting their information anyway.
Yeah, I always make people connect. Like, put your phone on right now, connect on Instagram, let's connect on Facebook, and then we start engaging with each other. It's one of the best follow-up strategies I've ever used, because it puts us in a relationship zone with each other that, you know, a business card on my desk just doesn't. Because I do have people that will give me their cards, and I think I have a box full of them somewhere, but they're somewhere right there. We're not Facebook friends, right? I don't know how I'm going to connect with them any further. And I don't choose to, right? Like,
absolutely.
That's a choice that I make.
We live in a world of a virtual Rolodex now,
right?
Like, and there's generations that don't even know what a Rolodex is.
Yes.
Like, they don't even.
Or that the hashtag button is a number sign, right? So
yes. And so we have to have that. We definitely have to have those systems to follow up, for sure.
So I have this example. I call it the pyramid of problems, right? It's a pyramid of problems that real estate agents experience from start to finish. And we've talked about marketing and sales, but what do you find is the next thing? Like, okay, Brinley, I got the marketing solution in place. We're good. Okay, Brinley, I got the sales solution in place. The system's there. We're good. Like, what's the next hurdle I'm going to face, and how do I overcome it?
Talent. You're going to get to a point where you can't do it all yourself, and you're going to have to succeed through others if you want to go to the next level.
Great point.
Absolutely. Most real estate agents do an average of 18 deals their first year. On average. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
I thought it was like less than 8.
No, on average it's 18. If they're lead generating for 3 hours a day and doing what they're supposed to.
Oh, okay. Now they're stipulating. Yes. Okay, great.
That's assuming that they're doing everything they should do.
Okay. Just so you guys know, if you're listening to this and you're not lead generating every single day, the average agent does less than like 5 to 8 deals their first year, which is garbage.
And that's because usually they're not treating it like a business. They're letting everything else become a distraction.
I always tell everybody, like, go drive a garbage truck. Those guys make $15,000 a year. They have no stress. Well, you know, they don't have transaction stress.
Yeah.
They just deal with trash, right? Like,
they just have to smell trash every day.
Yeah.
But yes. And so talent, right? And identifying when that talent needs to come into the business. Because there will become a time that your time will be being spent on non-income generating activities that can be leveraged to someone else. And so it's starting to build your reserve early to have 3 times that person's salary, 3 months of that person's salary in reserve. So you want to make sure, I tell folks from day one, if you plan on building a successful real estate business, even if it's $20 a closing, start putting money into a fund to hire your first assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's crucial. That's the person that's going to be able to break you through that ceiling of getting you through 50 to get you to 100.
Yeah.
Is being able to leverage all that stuff, all the back end, so that you can simply lead generate, go on appointments, negotiate contracts.
How, like, if you look at top producers and you look at people that come into the business that are gung-ho and they end up kind of flaring out, like, what's the difference? Like, why does this guy make it and why does this guy not?
Because they learn how to succeed through others.
Okay.
And they learn to stay in their lane, right? So not only do they hire the talent, but they hire the talent and get out of the way.
Right.
Right?
That's a big thing.
Yeah, and they find what they're good at and they stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go find other people to do the things that they're not good at, that are better than them.
If somebody's just like going about it in business and they're like, okay, I've been doing everything for the last, you know, year. How do you know? Like, how do you know if you're good at this or good at this? If you like doing the business, like how can you find your lane?
Well, let me ask you, Grant, how do you know that you're good at podcasts?
Well, I don't. You tell me, am I any good at
Well, no, there's a metric, right?
Right. Yeah. Through reports, right? Through insights. Through insights.
Through knowing who's listening. So it's identifying what the key performance indicators are in your business, right? So if you're taking a lot of listings and you're converting them, then what are you good at?
Getting listings.
Converting listings. If your buyer contracts are way low, you probably don't like working with buyers very much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yet what happens is that agents say, I don't want to work with buyers, so I'm going to go hire a buyer's agent before I hire an assistant.
Mm.
Right?
Mistake.
Big mistake, because now you have two squirrels in the same house, yeah. Right? And nobody to keep them straight and out of each other's, you know.
It's such a good point. Like if you get somebody that comes in and like you're a one out of a one of, you know, scale of 1 to 10, you're like a 2 on the let's call it conversion scale. You don't like following up the leads, and you bring somebody in and they're a 3. So yeah. They're way better than you, but they still suck.
Yeah.
Like what should you do? Is experience the best teacher? Just going on and doing it and failing a few times and like building up that strength? Or, you know, how could you really tell if you don't know any better?
I think the number one thing is that the biggest mistake that I see with agents is they come in and they think that this is a quick way to make money.
Oh, I love this. Because I've been on this regulation train. I'm not a fan of government regulation in any way, shape, or form, but I was talking to somebody else the other day, the fact that it takes a real estate agent 2 weeks to get a license and it takes somebody 2 years almost to get licensed to cut hair is a serious problem.
It is. And people come in and they don't treat it like, if I were to go and start at any company tomorrow and had never worked for the company, even if I had been in the industry for 25 years, they're going to put me through some intense 90-day training to learn their company, to mm-hmm. learn how to do the job, right? And yet agents are able to come in and brokerages are not offering them any support, any training to get their real estate business off the ground. So now we have a bunch of rogue agents out there guessing, doing whatever they can, handling contracts, trying to not just make money, but feed their families.
Right. Trying to desperately make money, which is a bad place to be.
And so that means that they're more inclined to make bad judgment calls or do things that might not necessarily be ethical. And yet it's not that they're doing it on purpose. They don't know.
Yep. I personally believe that real estate agents should have to work for a team or a brokerage as a buyer's agent, seller's representative for at least 2 years.
Absolutely.
To get their license to work independently. And I believe that there should be regulation to surpass that. Mm-hmm. And I think that regulatory proof should be in how well do you manage your finances, because you're helping somebody navigate their finances when you're helping somebody purchase a home. And if you can't prove that you have at least 6 months in the bank and you have your operating, you know, if you can't prove all that stuff and you can't document it, show it, you show you have everything saved, show you you're ready, I don't think that you should be allowed to help somebody navigate the largest purchase they'll ever make in their life. Because if you mess up, you mess up somebody's life for a minute.
Well, and you also mess up your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Like, I mean, you're not going to, if you do something wrong and you screw up, like that, you just lost that referral. You just lost the 2 homes that person probably guaranteed you through referrals. It destroys your business. Like, it's not worth the risk of not getting educated just to go sell a house.
Yeah.
If I'm in this long term.
Right.
And that's the thing. A lot of people aren't looking at the long term building a business side of it. They're looking for the quick fix.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Very true. I love it. Thank you so much for stopping by and
jamming with me. Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. You dropped some fire and we got into some fun topics.
In 30 minutes.
No, we kind of breezed through it. It didn't feel like 30 minutes. So that's
cool.
I know.
I could talk for like another hour with you. Awesome.
I feel like we could go for a minute. Maybe we'll have to do that. Maybe we'll do like a Facebook Live and we'll riff for an hour or something.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. That would be super fun.
Awesome. What's the one way that somebody could connect with you if they wanted to learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook. It's Brinley, B-R-I-N-D-L-E-Y. Last name Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R. That's B-R-I-N-D-L-E-Y. Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R. You can also visit us at Y-R-L. That's Y-R-L for Your Realty Leverage. YRLTalent.com. YRLTalent.com. We recruit and train operations and admin and assistants for real estate agents. So go check out our website.
I love it. And if you guys are listening to this, we'll make sure that we link all that in the show notes so you'll be able to easily click and be directed right over to Brinley. I highly, highly, highly encourage you to seek her out. She has some amazing skills, and you know, having the right operations people in your business will make or break your business. It will make or break your culture. It will make or break your operation. It will make or break your sales, your marketing. It affects every single aspect of your business.
Everything. Everything. It is the foundation. We have to be based in the fundamentals. So yeah.
So definitely reach out to her, connect to her, even if it's just to ask her more questions. So I know that she would love to help you guys with any of that. We appreciate you so much, and we will see you on the next episode of the Marketing Genius Podcast. Peace.
Bye guys. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.